And this week's interview is with Sebastian Bach. Sebastian, it's great to have you on the show. And what do you currently have going on, and what are you currently up to? I know you're touring, and talk about the current happenings going on with you and your band.
Well, we're just about to go on the road again. I'm going to do over 100 cities in America and Canada this year. And I'm happy to say that we are playing Cleveland, the Agora, on July 10th. So I know that's where you're doing your show out of Cleveland.
Right.
So it'll be fun to come back to the capital home of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame and play the Agora. So come on out to the show, and it's going to be a fun gig.
Now, what are some of your best memories of playing shows here in Cleveland?
Oh, man. God.
I know it's
the
difficult.
Top of my head, dude. I can't even. I mean, I've been playing all my life, so some great memories would be, you know, the tours I've done there with Aerosmith and or Pantera or Bon Jovi or Guns N' Roses. You know, I played Cleveland a bunch of times. What was that venue down on the water? I can't even.
The Odeon.
There used to be
Nautica.
There used to be outside. What was it? The Odeon? It was outside Cleveland, near the water.
Yep, that would be Nautica.
Yes, that's right. I remember playing there. That was, I think, a really fun memory.
Right.
I think Pantera played with us that night. If not them, it was Soundgarden.
Right.
So
I have to say that, you know, your last few solo albums, you know, they have that really awesome heaviness to them, and it's like you picked up the heaviness factor and the vibe that you had on Slave to the Grind when you were with Skid Row and took that into the modern day. And I'm sure you get this a lot right now, and I'm sure a lot of people are asking you this, but my question for you is, are you working on a new record finally? Because I'll tell you what, we're all dying for some new material to come from you. You know, even though it's only been about 4 years, we still, you know, would love to hear a new album coming out by Sebastian Bach and your band and everything else.
Thank you for saying that, and I agree with you. When I was getting ready for this tour here, I played back some of my solo records that I hadn't listened to in a while on vinyl, and I ended up adding some tunes into the set that really blew my mind when I listened back to the record Kicking and Screaming on vinyl. A couple tunes on there, I was like, Jesus Christ, this is why am I not playing this in my show? So we're adding some tunes from the solo albums. I am working on a new record, yes I am, but I'm doing so many shows that it's just not going to be possible for me to make it anytime soon, I'm sorry to tell you. But I am working on it, and I have some tunes from John 5, a really heavy tune from Steve Stevens, and another one from Devin from Give Him Hell. And so, you know, the reviews for Give Him Hell and Kicking and Screaming were across the board incredible reviews. They were received very, very well in the media and by the fans. What happened was I put out my book, 18 in Life on Skid Row, and when I was writing the book, I was really writing about the old days, and so I started thinking a lot about those old Skid Row tunes. Plus, there was talk at that time of us getting back together. So I added a lot of those tunes to my set. But then I've done them so many times now that I'm tired of those ones now. So I put on my solo record, and I couldn't believe when listening back how great they sounded. I'm very, very proud of them. I'm glad you dig them too. Really, thank you. So it's a shame that they're not available in America on vinyl. That's something I'm going to change in the future. I'm going to get those out somehow. Like, I especially think that Angel Down 100% should be on a 180-gram vinyl deluxe edition, you know, because that album sounds unbelievable, the production on that. So I've try my hardest to get those out on vinyl soon.
You know, you just mentioned vinyl, and Sebastian, I have to tell you, one of the things I've always liked about you is that, you know, on top of, you know, being a pretty good singer and being good at what you do, you're a music fan, you know, just like I am, just like a lot of us out there are, and you're a huge fan of vinyl. I've seen you on YouTube, I've seen a lot of the videos you've done, and you can just tell that whole thing is a genuine side of you that you're expressing. And, you know, I have to tell you that there's a lot of kids that are playing vinyl now, not just using it as a novelty, but listening to it. And since you are such a big vinyl fanatic, you know, when you go to listen to music, you know, let's talk about that for a minute. You know, what kind of impact has the resurgence of vinyl records really had on people and, you know, on the music scene itself?
Well, everything you said totally true, and I know people also listen to Spotify because, you know, they sell all the speakers that can hook up. So a lot of people buy those speakers. Obviously, they listen to that. But think about vinyl. Vinyl's a snapshot in time, like not even just like rock and roll. I mean, like because I'm a serious vinyl collector. When I listen to a Frank Sinatra vinyl record from like the early 60s or something, when you put that on in your house and you drop the needle and it's an original copy from way back when, you're not just hearing Frank, you're hearing the studio that it's in, the instruments that it's cut, the engineers, the way the tape sounded back then. You know, it's like a snapshot in time, like a library. So I find it endlessly fascinating to get a record because you're really getting, what did it sound like in 72 or 73? This is what people were listening to, especially if you have a vintage stereo. You know, I just had my 50th birthday, and I have a killer stereo all across my property that, you know, out of the pool I can play 8 tracks and like it's crazy. But I had so many incredible musicians here. Taylor Hawkins from Foo Fighters and Danny the drummer from Tool, and Adam, the guitar player from Tool. Ricky Rocket from Poison was here. Ralph from Steel Panther. Tommy and Eric from Kiss were here. Like so many amazing musicians were here. And all we did was crank the music, all my collection, all night till the neighbors came. You know, it was an incredible party, but all of us and our chicks were all dancing in front of the fire and playing old records, and everybody told me the next day that it was like one of the best parties, because just getting into that is like a party. You know, you have your friends over and look at the record, the albums, the jackets and the artwork and everything. And when you say like kids are into it, they are into it. And I saw this article that I thought was pretty accurate, that vinyl is like a direct communication between the listener and the music without anything in the way. Like if you go to download something, you get hit with like TV shows and movies and apps and ringtones and text tones. You gotta wade through all this crap to find it, and then finding a record is like hard because everybody wants to sell you like songs and playlists, and like just listening to an album is like a challenge, you know. It's everything's on shuffle, and like it's like, can I just listen to a record from the first song or the last song, like the way they made it.
Right.
And it, when you're listening to a record, you don't have to deal with anything at all like that. So it's like your mind can relax. It's less stressful, like getting through all this and getting your credit card out and all this. Like, it's just a different thing, man. You know, it's just a less stressful experience.
Right.
Hey, man, to tell you how far I go with that, I own two jukeboxes from the 70s that play 45s. So I'm going to tell you what, those always sound amazing. And you should seriously think about that if you're, you know, being a huge vinyl fan yourself.
Wow. Okay, that's very impressive to me. That's very cool. My guitar player, Brent, has a jukebox in his house, and it's loaded up with first issue Kiss 45s, and it's
right.
Just crazy. It sounds so good. I want to get one day. I don't have a jukebox.
But, dude, let me tell you something. It's like, you know, I have everything from original Doors singles to the Beatles to Iron Maiden to anything you can think of. I just mixed everything into Elvis. And, you know,
just like vinyl has its own sound, jukeboxes have their own sound as well. You know what I'm saying?
It sounds the way that I want to hear music. My ears don't get tired of listening to records. When I listen to albums like yesterday, like I listen to them for hours, you know?
Mm-hmm.
When I play CDs for hours, my ears like get a little ringy and tired. When I just crank the vinyl, my ears love it.
Right.
They're like, more, play another one.
It's kind of like
every time I say, okay, last record, I'm done. It's enough. You're gonna break the record player, and then I'm like, no, one more. I can't stop playing them.
Right.
You know, with all the negativity going on in the internet, you know, I have to tell you that when I get home, one of the first things I do after I change my clothes and I get out of work is I go and listen to a vinyl record, believe it or not. And, you know, it just alleviates all the negativity and everything that you encounter every day on the internet and at work and all that stuff.
The vinyl is so soothing, and it just lets your mind and your heart, like, get right into the music, you know? It really does.
You know, and I want to talk a bit about some of your current work, though, because, you know, obviously everyone asks you about the Skid Row stuff. I mean, it's a question that's asked a million times. But, you know, I'm looking at the music that you've come out with, and, you know, Kicking and Screaming is as good as anything you did with Skid Row, in my opinion, you know, of all the solo albums that you've done. So, you know, for me, you know, it's great to be able to focus on some of the real heavy music that you're making, you know, these days, as opposed to what you did, you know, like 25 or 30 years ago, even.
Well, that's all true, but, you know, it is very hard to compete with those records because everybody grew up with them, so you're actually competing with more than just those records. You're competing with people's memories of their lives and what they were doing when they had the first Skid Row record, you know, and so that's really, that's a challenge to compete with, because people hold on to their memories with such passion that, you know, they can never imagine that something could be better than that.
Mm-hmm.
But if you really try hard and you really go for it, the cream does rise to the top. And I can give you just one very real example of that, and that's the song American Metalhead, which is off of Angel Down. And when we do that song, dude, it kicks ass just as hard as Monkey Business or anything in every show we do it at. That tune stands up to the other big huge hit songs, even mm-hmm. though it's not a hit song. It is a hit song in our live show. So there's one tune that we always do pretty much every show because the crowd loves it, and I don't know whether it's because of the heavy beat of it or because they, you know, they're into the American metalhead, being an American metalhead, but that tune is a song that stands up to the other ones. Because, you know, like Willie Nelson said one time, he's like, hey, man, I throw new songs in the set all the time. Very few stay in the set. Because when you play them next to On the Road Again, people are like, that's such a giant, iconic hit that very few songs can stand next to it live. But, you know, as I said before, we're throwing some other new ones in the set. One tune also I think is going to be a hit over the course of time is Stuck Inside, which is also off Angel Down. Stuck Inside is absolutely crushing, and anybody who listens to it goes, my God, like, so you just got to keep going for it. I've always made records that I love my whole career, from the first Skid Row record up to Give 'Em Hell. I love them all, as you know, or I wouldn't put them out. And you know, that's all you can do. And as a musician, you make something you love and hope other people will dig it too.
You know, it's funny you mentioned American Metalhead, because on the way home to do this interview, that was the last song I listened to. Number one, number two. You know, the thing is that it is also the song I play when I go to some of these vintage car shows.
Well, you know, the first thing you said to me was you like the way I scream. There's some screams in that tune that are hellacious.
Right.
So, if you like me screaming, you'll dig that tune for sure.
You know, you mentioned it's your 50th birthday recently, and this leads to my next question for you. You know, you have still been able to maintain your voice and still perform at a very high level. And, you know, where a lot of singers over the years have really kind of lost it, you know, with age or whatnot. And what have you done to really take care of yourself all this time to be able to still sound as good as you do, you know, the way you're performing these days?
Well, there's a method of singing called bel canto, which is a scale set, an Italian way of singing that I learned a long time ago. That I still do before every time I sing, and it really builds your voice up. That's number one. So what that is knowing how to sing. Like when I look at my tour dates, my brain says, dude, what are you crazy? Like, how can you sing that much? But I've done it all my life. Like, that's what I do. So I know how to sing pretty much every night without blowing my pipes out, and very few people in the world know how to do that. That's a skill, you know. I mean, I don't use tapes at all live. Most bands do use tapes these days. We do not, you know, we never have. I don't know if we ever will. Maybe we will. I don't. But at this point, we don't. So.
You know, I think the technical aspect of your voice has gotten a lot better over the years. And I know you did some of the Broadway plays and some of that, you know, a few years back. My question for you is, did any of that stuff really help you as far as your vocal performance goes?
To be honest, when I listen back to all of my material, I myself, as a fan, like the sound of my voice clean. Clean and pure, more than when I'm screaming. I do like when I scream, but I think that when I'm singing clean, that it sounds really, really good to me. And so on my solo records, even, you know, yesterday when I was listening back, I noticed that I really am singing as clean as I can, and, you know, with screams here and there, dirty screams, but mostly my solo records are me singing clean. Mm-hmm. Song like My Own Worst Enemy on Kicking and Screaming is so, there's no raunch or dirtiness. It's just absolutely pure vocals, the whole tune, and it's really high. And people don't sing like that anymore.
Right. You Don't Understand is another good example.
Yeah, nobody hardly sings like that. And also the song, another one, is Caught in a Dream. I would say to any Skid Row fan that likes Skid Row records, listen to this song off Kicking and Screaming called Caught in a Dream. I defy you to not like that song, because it sounds, the way I'm singing that is like the first Skid Row record. Like I'm like 19 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And I ain't 19 years old, honey. Not even close.
Now, you've always had a really good relationship with Axl Rose, and I always thought that the songs you guys did together on the Angel Down album were great. And Roy Z even told me in an interview once that, you know, Axl was one of the most professional people he ever dealt with and sounded great. And, you know, you've always had a great relationship with that man.
I think, obviously, what I was just talking about relates to that, and that's how high we both sing. We both sing way up on the scale, just hitting notes, you know, like Rob Halford sings higher than anybody.
Right.
So people that can, me as a singer, I look for singers that can sing high so I can listen to them, because I like how that sounds, and I can relate to it with my own voice. And I know Pax would probably say the same thing.
You know, you mentioned your book earlier, and you did put that book out. You know, how was it done for you, and how was the book received?
Well, the book did incredible. I mean, it came out over a year ago, and it was the top selling rock bio on Amazon.com from the day it came out for months. So it sold a lot of copies, and I did a huge book tour across America, which was amazing. And I hopefully am going to be doing another book at some point, because I enjoy making things. But the next thing I'm doing is a record. So books are forever, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I really was happy that I got a chance to do one. And I'm very proud of it. And there's a lot of great pictures in there from my dad's collection from when I was a kid that nobody's ever seen before. So for the pictures alone, you should check it out, dude.
So, you know, obviously I spoke to you 20 years ago. You're on my show for the first time back then. It's when I first went on the air. And you've had a pretty good 20-year career so far, you know, since then, as far as what you have done, you know, during that time period. And, you know, what are some of the high points for you personally with some of the accomplishments that you've basically done in the last 20 years?
I think the all of the solo touring I did with Guns N' Roses in like 2010, 2011, I thought that was incredible. We played every arena and stadium in South America and England and Europe and Australia, Canada, America. So that felt really good to do that. That was really fun. And also to collaborate with Axl on Angel Down was great.
Mm-hmm.
So that was fun. Yeah.
You know, the music business really isn't that easy to deal with in many cases, but you managed to persist and do well in it. And what has kept you going all this time and getting through the music business and dealing with it on a daily basis and to keep going performing and recording?
Well, I would say, it's hard for me to answer that. I'm going through stuff that is crazy that I can't really talk about in interviews. Maybe someday I can. But, you know, I'm a fan of rock and roll, and I know how to sing. There's one thing about when I get on stage that's always the same thing, that everybody's really excited in the crowd and has this look on their face, like with a smile, right across from ear to ear, everybody there, and I always laugh. I'm like, I don't even. As soon as I walk out there, everybody in the crowd is happy and having a good time. Maybe only I see that because I've been doing this all this time. But everybody has a good time, and everybody's laughing and smiling and having fun. So I'm pretty sure that's why people keep coming to my shows, because that's what rock and roll is all about. Mm-hmm. It's about going out and going to a show and having fun with your friends and singing and having a memorable time. So I see that every time I walk on the stage.
Right.
You know, people talk about the X factor, or you know, being a star or whatever. You know, some of these bands, I don't see that, that come out, like new bands that are hyped as the next big, huge rock band. And then I watch a video, I'm like, nobody's going to want to watch this.
Right.
I mean, it might sound good on the radio or whatever, but there's no magic or like stardom, or you know, like when you see an old Kiss or old Van Halen clip,
right?
It's like, my God, look at these guys, you know. So you know, when I go out there, I don't know what it is, but I do bring the excitement and the fun. So maybe that's why people dig it.
Well, you know, you're one of those guys that I've always liked you, because every time we've ever spoken, you've never held back. You've stated your opinion and stood by it, and you know, there really is no. You know, when I think of Sebastian Bach, I don't think one of these guys that's sugarcoating everything. I mean, you are who you are, and you go out, you do what you do, and if people don't like it, oh well, that's just how it goes. And I've always really liked that aspect of you, and, you know, maybe you'll agree or disagree with me, but, you know, that's how I see you.
Yeah, you know, we all have social media, and people want to say whatever they want to say online about whatever they want, but then I get to say what I want to say, and what I say always creates controversy for some reason, or make headlines. I don't try to do that, but I can cause a headline with like two words on my Twitter feed, and the next day it's like a story all over the world,
right.
And I'm like, what? Like I'll go to the Apple store to change my battery, and that's like a story. But then I'll announce a 3-month tour, and that's not a story. I'm
right.
Like, what are you people? like who cares if I go get my battery changed in my phone? Like,
right.
Why is that important? Like, I'm just goofing around on Twitter, like, beep you, Apple. And it's like, Sebastian says, beep you, Apple. Like, who cares? Like, I'm like, wow, that's a story?
Right.
Wow.
Well, I just...
Well, that's easy. I do tons of stories like that.
You know, it's funny because, you know, when it comes to the internet, you know that most of these people would never say most of this stuff to your face. I would say 99% of them would never come up to you and say what they do. You know what I'm saying?
No, because I'm 6'4". It's like, what are you, stupid? Like, I'm a giant.
All right.
I'm not scared.
Well, you know, I have to say, what I really thought was cool is that you talked about wood glue as a way of restoring vinyl. And have you actually ever tried doing it? Because I've done it. It works, but have you tried it?
I have my own YouTube show called Keeping Up with the Sebastian. And in the latest episode, I show you how to do it. So if you're really into it, go to my show. It's either in this episode or the one before this, 3 or 4. You can learn tonight the magic and the importance of wood glue to your vinyl collection. You are so excited. Dude, have a couple brews and watch that episode. You'll be loving it.
Well, I got one more question for you. I got to keep this to a certain length because obviously I got to do this for radio. Any last words for the fans that are going to be checking this out, Sebastian?
Well, yes, I would say come on to the show, because this is called the Home Away from Home Tour, and it's become evident in our brains that our home is on the road. So come on out and, like, let's make it a home vibe. And, you know, it's like, Cleveland is a cool place. The last time we played was the Agora. I want to have a even better show this time. So come on out July 10th, and it's going to be really fun. So the opening band is the Standstills from Canada. I don't know much about them, but I'm going to be learning a lot about them.